Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Interesting.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
There we go. Good evening. We're so glad you're here with us, and we hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. And I want to remind you guys that we have a show in December, the first Monday, and we have a show in Orange County, the first Wednesday of the month. Look at the dates and the times and the places on www.drpatallen.com. And if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, you've got to do it while you're there. It's easy to do. And remember to respond to the email we send you opting in. In the meantime, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen, you are live on the air.
And I'm waiting to serve.
Awesome. How was your holiday?
My holiday was fine, was very good. My kids, myself, we did things, ate things, had fun things. It's good.
Yes, it was mine as well. Big family dinner and all kinds of homemade goodies and treats and a big bird in the middle of the table. But it's really family that makes it all worthwhile.
Good.
So we have a question that came in last week, and I think it's kind of poignant at this point in time because we have the holiday season coming up. And this person says, how do you deal with feeling lonely and depressed during the holidays?
You find a local food line, you find a church, you find some place where they're helping other people in the same boat.
I think that's a really great idea. And I think it's funny too, because I find that the holidays make people just sometimes smile a little bit easier. And I find a lot of people talk to me during the holidays, like, you know, an interesting toy in your shopping cart or something. And I think it's a great time to get out there, network, make that 5-second flirt eye contact, and, you know, pull your shoulders back, sing a Christmas carol or whatever the case is. It can be really empowering.
Very much so. There's, you know, one of the things I'm proud of, we're in California, these horrible fires has triggered people into caring about people.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, very amazing how we're used to succeeding and being sufficient and rich and whatever. But now we have massive amounts of human beings without homes.
Yes.
And while, you know, it's wonderful that people are helping people.
I think it's amazing that the entire really, our entire country has, you know, I've seen stories of these farmers and truckers getting together and bringing straw and hay and food for animals and people all the way across the country. And it's pretty amazing.
I understand that.
Sometimes we start to lose hope in humanity, but then something like this happens and people really do open up. So there's a lot to be thankful for. There's been a lot to be thankful for, in spite of the fact that California basically has really been through the ringer.
Yes.
I have people there.
Very
I have
much.
You there and Sue and my dad. And so, yeah, it was pretty scary because the fires were close to my dad. So it's been really rewarding, though, to see a lot of my friends that are still in California, in spite of losing, that they're being supported. And it's really neat to see it happen. I have another question, and it's from one of our male listeners. And he says, Dr. Allen, I've been following your program, and I am a homosexual male. I'm 39 years old. I feel myself starting to change. Is 39 too early to go into andropause? And if it is, should I seek medical attention, or is it just sort of natural? I find myself wanting to settle down. I feel like my emotions are more open. I was the masculine energy, but I feel now I'm changing to the feminine energy.
That's very appropriate, especially as a biologically gay man. Your brain and your hormones and body are in fact already, you're already a complex human being. Remember, we're all female for 8 days in mom's womb. Then she spots us, and maybe if we're a boy, we trigger her into creating a testes and testosterone. But the truth of the matter is, every human
Dr. Allen, are you there?
Of sexual female and masculine and feminine.
Awesome. So, one minute caller. Go ahead, Dr. Allen.
I want this gentleman to go to a doctor. This is where women kind of outdo men. And have his hormones checked.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's a great idea.
Absolutely. So there.
Yeah. Beautiful. We've got a caller on. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kelly and Pat Allen.
Hi. Thank you for being patient.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling because, I always have lots of questions, but my one right now is, I'm duty dating. I'm putting myself out there, exploring that a lot more than I ever have. And what the situation that I'm wondering about is kind of a weird situation. I had somebody actually text me, and it was an accident. But then we started talking, and he turned out to be a fine gentleman, but he's not in my area, and I don't have any way to verify who he is, and we're just having some conversation, and he sent me some pictures. I sent him some pictures. He's definitely gotten very sexually, there's been a lot of sexual, talking, and so I'm wondering, is the sexual talking, is that okay to do with somebody you haven't really had a lot of communication with, or should I have, I feel like I have a difficult time with boundaries and comfortable on one hand, but at the other hand, I'm am I being foolish? And, I don't think it's harming anything, but I guess I'm just wondering. And then I want to ask him questions about who he is, but I don't want to be the interviewer. He's definitely interviewing me in some ways, but I guess I'm just trying to gauge if this is, what to do about this weird situation, if that makes sense at all.
What is your instinct about this? Do you feel good about what you're doing?
That's the problem I always run into is I think my mind talks myself out of my instinct a lot.
Well, most men do that when they're women.
Yeah, and I'm working on training myself to not be man because I'm definitely a recovering man in all of my past relationships.
Then what are you asking me for? Because you don't sound comfortable doing what you're doing. Women get what they want when they know what they don't want.
Right. How do I?
You tell him.
Bring that up.
You tell him you're not comfortable doing what you're doing.
Okay.
He thinks you like it, so he's doing it.
Well, I have been acting like I like it because I'm trying to let him lead, but at the same time, I don't want to be led into somewhere I don't feel.
That's right. You're supposed to be honoring your instinctive neurotransmitter, chemically sensitive body. Don't do what you don't feel good doing.
Okay.
So at least give him a chance. Give him a chance to change. Which is, you know, I find it very interesting, our conversations, but I'm not really comfortable with the level of escalating sexual conversation. You see? So if you want to be a friend and go wherever that takes us, fine. But I'm not comfortable where it's taking us now.
Okay.
That's what you sound like to me. If you were enjoying it, you would not be calling me about it.
I know. I that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I think I overrule my instinct in a lot of situations when it comes to dating. That seems to be where a lot of my questions are.
Most women that were raised to be men and do good do that same thing. So how about you ask yourself, what am I getting out of this? Am I enjoying this? And pay attention when it says no. It triggered you to call me.
Yes. Yes, it did.
So do something about it.
Okay. And what about when I'm dating guys? What about in another situation when guys are dating me that I'm duty dating, but I'm not really, I know I'm not interested in even from the first date. I'm not maybe even comfortable continuing dating them, but I'm trying to duty date and
You only duty date three times.
Yeah.
If it's not authentic chemistry, you don't use. Remember, when I teach, I say, you know, I've really appreciated the dates we've had, but I don't feel the right chemistry and romance, and I don't want to lead you on. And I don't want to use you socially, financially. So if you want to date me as a friend and see where it goes, fine. If not, please feel free to take care of yourself. Okay?
Okay. All right. So, thank you. That helps.
Thanks, caller.
So learned my instinct.
I'm glad.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Kelly, I want to remind people, if they heard me talk about my client's student that created the movie, 12-Round Gun, it's going to be December 5th at the Levely Theater on Wilshire, the Music Hall.
Beautiful. 7:30. Awesome.
7:30 p.m. I'm just going to mention it this time, and I think I'll mention it before the end of the show.
Sounds
but
great.
December 5th.
December 5th. We've got a caller on. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. I have two questions, hopefully. one is about, they're about the same man, but one... So he's been dating me and everything's been going really, really well. And I like everything that's happening. But then it been a while, but then we were becoming close to intimate, and he was a quote unquote God or whatever, which was great. But then when I was kind of going to kind of reciprocate a little bit, like give him a hand job, he was kind of having a hard time getting hard because, I don't know, I think he's just gotten, he's at the end of a separation, or he's at the end of like a divorce. So I don't know if I should like say anything.
Finally, is he finally divorced?
No, so he's been separated a year and they have filed the paperwork. So I called about it earlier and I've been duty dating, but so I don't know if it's like an emotional thing or how I should talk to him about it or if I should just ignore it. And I told him, I said, I'm not worried about it. I said, you know, I'm not going to do that anyway. And then I kind of had the talk of what I need to be in a relationship to have sex. So, but.
So what are you asking of me?
I'm asking like if he had a hard time getting fully hard, like, I don't know, does it matter? Or like, well, is that a warning sign?
You have an agreement that you're monogamous sexually, socially, you're seeing each other regularly, and you're aiming towards marriage or not?
Well, we weren't going to have sex. I was going to just give him a hand job, so.
Well, that's sexuality, but that's not intercourse.
Right.
So, I would dare say that if he's not finished with his marriage, I can't see how he would really be very, what shall I say, enthusiastic about being not married and not free to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing is you're affectionate. In the old days in America, they used to bundle because they lived far apart. And so they would get together and put a board down the middle of the bed or pillows or whatever, and they would mm-hmm. be affectionate with each other. So who cares whether he has a heart on or not? It's affection.
Yeah, and he's super affectionate, and he's very attracted to me. And I think he was very surprised himself. So I guess I just don't know if I should talk to him about it or just ignore it or...
Well, who initiates it?
He does, absolutely.
Well, then, what would you have to say? Are you a doctor?
No.
So why would you lecture him on hard-on?
So I just wanted to make sure I don't need to, like, assure him he's attractive, or I don't know what people say, or if I was worried maybe there's some sort of problem, I should, like, avoid him because... I think it's a temporary thing.
The man
thing.
He's just getting out of a marriage.
Yeah. So so that was my other question is, you know, I kind of called before and is like, all right, we'll keep him as one of the people you're dating maybe, but I don't know how much time to give him because he seems very genuine and dated before. And he was like, I haven't met anybody I liked until I met you. And so I just don't know how much time to give him because he wants to see me a lot. And I would consider him like a number one person out of three, but I don't want to waste my time. I don't know if this is a waste of my time, I guess.
I thought you said you were monogamous.
No, we're not.
He's dating other people and so are you.
I'm dating other people, but I don't know that he's not dating anybody else that I know. I don't think he is. He kind of almost said he loves me.
He's got another task. He's got to get over his wife.
Right.
So you're dating.
Right. We're just dating.
You're affectionate and that's it.
So like if he asked me out Saturday night and Friday night and Sunday, should I say yes or should I like open myself up to a lot more people? Or I don't know.
It depends on how committed you are to him.
I really like him and he's natural and he kind of almost seemed to be saying he loves me, which I'm like, maybe he's crazy and he's just, it's too soon. So I don't know what to think, but well, feel, but I feel really dating, happy around him, and he's adding things to my life and like a lot of good things. So a lot of like good experiences and habits. So
if you're not in a committed relationship, I recommend you date three men, he being one and two others.
Okay. So just give him like one night on a weekend or something.
Well, whatever. How many nights do you have for dating anybody?
Yeah.
The point of what I'm saying is he hasn't claimed that you're it.
Right.
But you've claimed okay. that he is. So you're in the masculine role.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what you want?
No, yeah. I've been very, like, receptive to what he does. I don't initiate, but I know I like him too much, probably. So.
All right. So I recommend you date three men until either he is more committed to you. His penis is saying something about
yeah.
commitment. So date three men until you know who's number one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, okay. caller. That's a rough situation because it's really difficult for somebody. Divorce is very difficult, legally, emotionally, spiritually. So
and physically.
Yeah, it really is. It's
hello.
Hi, Kali, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Bye.
Hi, I do have a question. Dr. Pat, you and I had a session this morning, and I just want to follow up with regard to the man that is dating me. And
okay.
He asked me to be exclusive with him. About
Ooh.
Yes, so we dated for 2 months, and 4 weeks ago he asked me to be exclusive with him, and but I found out that
Did
he was
you say
not.
Say yes or no?
I said yes.
Okay.
That he was not being socially monogamous.
What?
He wasn't being socially monogamous.
Oh, so he wasn't doing social monogamy, so he's still putting himself out there as a single man.
Yes,
one of the biggest addictions that's going on is emotional affairs on the computer, phones.
Yes. So
people think that sex is the only monogamy. There is. It isn't. Social monogamy is where you say, my girlfriend and I are going to the whatever, whatever. You are open about the fact that you are taken. So he's not doing that.
He wasn't doing that. And then I brought it to his attention and he told me he
okay,
was going.
Okay, he brought it up.
And he went ahead and canceled his subscription. And let me know that he deleted his profile. But I noticed that evening.
You're repeating what we talked about today. What do you have a new question?
Yes, I do. So,
what is it?
So last night when he didn't respond, I texted him last night when I got home after we had our disagreement. And I said, thank you for the car service. And I'm sorry our night ended on such a bad note. He responded about maybe 13, 15 hours later, which was a really long time. He texts me and calls me all the time. And he said, there are bound to be a few sour notes along the way. But my question, Dr. Pat, is I had an ex-boyfriend cheat on me, the only one that did. And I wonder if it's my intuition that's right with regard to this new guy that I'm always like questioning him, or is it that I've learned not to trust men? Like, how can I make that distinction?
Well, I thought that you already told him and confronted him on the fact that he said you were sexually monogamous, but he wasn't socially monogamous.
Yes.
Is that correct? And you confronted him on that, and he said, I'll get off there and be monogamous.
Yes, but then last night we got into an argument because he went ahead and, like, was really baiting me about a couple of things. And one of the things was he showed me a picture of him in Vegas a few years ago with two almost naked women, and he was really enjoying showing me the picture. And I asked him not to show that to me. And he...
Yes.
So that's my question. Like, how do I know if this guy is just like a cheater, or if it's my intuition, or if it's just
showing
because I've been cheated
showing
on.
You a picture of some former women in his life. It may be etiquette problem, but it's not a moral problem. You told him, don't show me that picture anymore.
Yeah.
Do you believe, gut-wise, that he is dating other people after what you said and did with him? What does your gut tell you? Is he dating somebody else or not?
I don't think he's dating anyone else, but
all right,
I
so then that. Follow that until you have evidence.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Dr. Pat.
Okay, so if you don't feel it, see, we generally, you confronted him and he already agreed to being monogamous socially. So what I'm thinking of is that you're saying, I don't believe, and I don't know whether that's I don't believe men or I don't believe him.
It took like two or three times for us to have the conversation before he really got off.
Well, I understand that, but he got off.
Yes, he got off. He got off.
Do you want to explore this relationship or not?
I do.
Well, then follow it until you have the evidence that he's not faithful.
But I do feel like maybe he isn't faithful, and so that's my question. How do I know it's not because I've been cheated on before versus it's my gut?
You hire a detective to watch him for a few days. If you're really serious about it, there are detectives that do nothing but gather evidence on unfaithful people. Get evidence.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye, Kelly.
Bye. Thanks, caller.
Bye.
That is an interesting idea, Dr. Allen. What is the difference?
No, I recommend detectives regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so my question is, maybe you could shed some light on why men disappear after having a great date, and if it's okay to ask a man why he disappears after.
Well, funny you should ask that, because since the Me Too situation, men are becoming afraid to be assertive, because if they're having a good time, they're afraid that the woman thinks that they were aggressive. So I have told certain female clients that if they drop out, they ghost you. I'm telling you that if you had a good time with him on the last date and he said something like, we've got to do that again, or blah, 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 and then he goes away for at least a week, which may signal you that he's going away, that you have my permission to leave a message on his machine or call him up and say, we had a good time on our last occasion. Where did you go?
See, and that's what I had asked you before, something similar, because now it's going on 3 weeks since I went on the date with this guy, and he texted me the next day saying he had a great time. I responded in kind. 2 days later, he checked up on me because I was out of town. I responded pleasantly, and he had said, have a safe trip home. I said, thank you. That was the last time I heard from him. He did not text or call me on Thanksgiving. And it's been 3 weeks.
Why don't you do what I suggested, which is, you can't do it if he and you didn't agree that you would do something. Do you know what?
Basically, the only semi-close thing to what you're mentioning, he said, was I mentioned a margarita place in the neighborhood, a place that has good margaritas, and he said, well, you have to take me there. And I didn't respond when he said, I just smiled. I know. I was like, I guess I was just nervous or whatever. I don't know. I guess, for whatever reason, I didn't say anything. I just kind of like smiled, but I didn't say, oh, yeah, we have to go there or whatever. I just smiled.
Well,
I don't know if that counts now, or not.
Yeah, that does count. If somebody said to you the same thing, if you said, you know, and they didn't respond, yes, we'll do that. See, in this particular case, you shut him down by not stroking him for what he said. So how about you call him and say, we had a good time. Where did you go?
Oh, Jesus. Because I feel like I'm chasing him then. I feel like, because I want to stay the feminine woman.
Chasing him would be if he did not say something that signaled you, like he said, let's diagram it. He said, there's a place I want you to take me, which is his way of saying, I want to go with you. And you did not say anything.
No, yeah, pretty much. I mean, yes, because I said I know a good margarita place in the neighborhood, and then his response was, oh, you have to take me there. You have to take me there is what he said.
That's exactly right, which is, we're going to go there together, and you said nothing.
So then why did he text me the next day saying that he had a great date, and then text me 2 days later saying,
because
checking up
on
me?
He already did it. You dropped the ball.
Mm. Oh, so you're saying I guess what I'm confused about is, why would he reach out 2 days later, the day after the date, and then 2 days later to check up on me if he felt like I dropped the ball or if he didn't feel like I was interested? I'm kind of lost there.
I didn't know he called you after you dropped the ball.
He texted me the Monday. We went out on a Sunday. He texted me Monday saying that he had a great time. It was our first date. It was nice meeting me, yada, yada. And then 2 days later, he knew I was out of town. He texted me and said, oh, just checking up on you. Hope all is well. And I said, all is well. I'm actually at the airport heading back home now. He said, Wait a minute.
The situation where you dropped the ball was after those things. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know how I dropped the ball in general, because we only had one date. And when he suggested about going to the margarita place was on Sunday of the date. After the date, he texted me twice, as I mentioned, and that was the end of that. After the second text where I told him I was at the airport, I was coming home, he said, have a safe flight. I said, thank you. And that was the last I heard from the man, and that was 3 weeks ago.
I appreciate that, and I'm still going to say it one more time. When he said, you'll take me to there, you said nothing.
Correct, but that was on the date. So what does it have to do with... Okay, I guess I...
Because that's when you dropped the ball. So what he did was, then he tried to present to you, and then he gave you an opportunity to say, For example, I'll give this example. Oh, I'm okay. At the airport. I'm getting ready to fly home. Thank you so much for that. When I get back, we'll have to try that margarita place.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Pick the ball back up. You pick the ball back up. You put it in his court. Now he gets to say, awesome. Let's do it Tuesday. See how that is?
When you drop that ball,
he tried to give you an opportunity twice to hand the ball back to you.
And I want you to know that more women are calling me about these situations, and I think it's because men are becoming afraid of being aggressive with women.
I 110% agree with that.
You see
wow.
What I'm saying?
So, yeah. And the thing is, I'm going out of town tomorrow. So now it's the most inopportune time for me to try to reach out to him.
No, it isn't. You've got a phone, and your phone will say to his phone or him, I'm going out of town tomorrow, and before I went out of town, I wanted to let you know that I thought we had a good time. Where did you go?
Oh, God. It's going to take a lot, but I'll try it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it, and then I'll... Or can I just say... Not say that part, but just say about the drink, because doesn't that make the man feel like you're putting him into a corner prematurely when you're saying, where did she go?
Are you hearing what you're saying? You're saying, I need to mother this poor little boy because he doesn't know how to chase me. He did chase you.
What I'm saying is, when you ask a man, where did you go? Doesn't that sound like you're backing him into a corner, like asking him to give you a reason as to why he disappeared?
I am doing that. You didn't respond to him saying, you've got to take me to that place. He was leading. Here's something I teach. A husband and wife own a company, but he's got to have a back surgery. He says to his wife, look, will you come to the office and oversee the bookkeeping and the billing and stuff? And if she does it, is she masculine or is she feminine?
She's feminine because she's following his lead.
That's what he did. He did it. He even said, I want you to take me to the margarita place.
I didn't think it was that. I guess what I'm saying now that we've kind of fleshed it out, I didn't think it was that big of a deal that I just smiled or was caught off guard that he would even be thinking about it.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Do you know how sensitive men are?
I'm learning every day, Dr. Allen. Yeah.
There's never going to be a woman as sensitive inside as a man, and there's never going to be a man as strong as a woman inside. The soul of a woman is the anima. The soul of a man is the anima.
Okay. Well, then I guess I will do what you said and just reach out to him with the whole, hey, I thought we had a good time. I don't know where you went.
That sounds perfectly fine to me.
And then just go on and say, when do you want to go to the margarita place? I don't know.
No. No. You want to see what he says back to you.
Because remember, really, what have you got to lose? If you drop the ball and he's like, whatever, she's not interested. If you say that, then he'll know that you had a good time. He had a good time. What have you got to lose?
That's true. I felt like I already told him I had a good time on the text. But
I do not want you to ask him to go to the margarita place. I only want you to ask him where he went away after your interlude that you dealt with.
And then that's all I say. And then what if I get his voicemail? I just say, hey, you know, I'm just calling to say hi. Give me a call when you have a moment.
No, that's telling him what to do. You put it on the phone.
Oh, so then that really gives him time to ruminate over it and decide if he wants to even call me back. I get what you're saying to an extent. I just feel like when I say that, I'm taking the risk of pushing someone into a corner, like the time that I asked the guy where we
stand. You want to know
something?
And
that did not turn out well.
You don't push people in the corner. You run away.
Mm.
When you didn't make a remark back to him, and as you got to take me to the margarita place, you ran away from him. He tried to, do you understand?
Yes, now I do. You know, honestly, when people say stuff like that, I think that they're just talking. So when he said, oh, you got to take me to the margarita place, I thought it was just talk. You know how people say, oh, yeah, we got to get together,
no,
and half the time,
darling,
they don't mean it.
Do
you know?
Understand what you're sharing with me? What you're sharing with me is your unwillingness to be desirable, available. You didn't respond to him.
Okay. I will accept that. I will accept that. I don't know why I didn't, but like I said, I just figured he was just talking just to be talking, and that's probably,
you know what,
a large part
there's
of why
the,
I didn't respond.
I want you to hear the discount. You discounted him and ultimately discounted yourself and your self-worth.
Wow.
You dropped the ball.
Mm. No, I understand. I'm going to definitely listen to this again for it to like sink in, the recording of this. But I do hear what you're saying. And I didn't look at it until this very moment tonight from that angle. So I think I'm going to have to put my big girl pants on and do what you said and call. And like Kelly, you were saying, what do I have to lose? That's true. You know, I do like the guy. So, you know, what do I have to lose? Right now we're not speaking at all because he hasn't called me and I haven't called him. So we're, you know, at that point of no one speaking. So
well, that's exactly right.
I think what Dr. Allen said, and I think that a lot of people don't really understand what's going on with men, especially women that don't ascribe to that Me Too thing, but men don't know that. So we're getting these signals from them. Oh, he doesn't like me. He didn't call. But the truth of the matter is they're terrified. If they call again, it's going to be, oh, he's harassing me. He's trying to get blah, blah, blah. And
right.
So naturally, they're afraid. I got news for you. I would not want to be a man in today's climate. I really wouldn't.
Right.
It's sad because it's breaking up relationships. It's breaking up the whole foundation of what our country's built on, family and
right.
And
no, you're
who's
right.
Gonna,
and he's 50,
who wants
he's
to take a chance and end up in jail?
Right. No, you're right. I mean, he's 52 as well. So we know he's in his feminine already. So that even is the extra like whammy there of him
and
being
welcome,
52.
Welcome to the other side of the fence. You've now joined Kelly and I.
Yeah. And here's the other thing too. He's 52. I'm 54. We're from a generation where it was okay to ask people out on a date. It wasn't considered like you were accosting them or whatever. You
mm-hmm.
just simply said yes or no. If you said no, people went away. If you said yes, you went on a date.
But
people weren't saying, I got raped, I got molested. He just simply asked you out on a date. So it was a very different era that we were raised in. And now, by today's standards, it's very different. Very, very different. And I know Dr. Allen's the same way. People came up, you went out on a date with Biff, you went out to dinner with Sam, you went on a picnic with Bill, and it was no big deal. But now it's like you can ask somebody out on a date and get in a lot of trouble for it.
Right. No, and I understand. Yeah, it's totally the Me Too movement has totally changed the way men interact now, unfortunately. So here we are. But yeah, I'm armed with this new information. So I thank you guys so much for it.
What city do you live in? What city
do you live in? I'm in New York. So that makes it even worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I used to be in California, and that wasn't much better, but New York's even worse in terms of like men here, because men here think that women are so alpha and they want that.
Did you hear me talk at the beginning of this show about the movie 12 Round Gun?
No, I was on the train, unfortunately, so I missed it, and I just got home.
I want you to know it's on iTunes. If you want to see it, it's a man's movie about a man, young man, becoming spiritually grounded. The 12-round gun refers to the 12-step program.
Interesting.
You might want to look at it.
Okay. I think I will. I mean, I think I'll force myself to call this man today.
It's showing. Mm-hmm. It's showing in Dallas, Texas. It's out there this week in December, but it's my stuff from a man's point of view.
Oh.
Sam Upton has studied my stuff for years, and he did a wonderful movie. Really good. I've seen it.
Mm.
Thank you.
No, I'm going to definitely check it out.
I think it's sorry, hey, you know what? We want to know what happens after you call him, and we want to hear the follow-up.
You call. We gave you a whole show.
I appreciate you guys. Well, I will. Thank you so much, both of you. I so totally appreciate it, because I didn't think from that angle. So again, I totally thank you both again.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Right. Thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. I really think, Dr. Ellen, that that's a big thing right now with men. And I think
it's a big thing. That's why I'm saying it.
I think
it's a
really
huge thing.
The destruction of many potential relationships that people might have. But when you're so worried about reaching out to somebody, and who could blame them? I mean, you can't blame them. So I think hearing about it from a man's point of view would be so amazing and poignant.
That is what it's about.
That's what I'm saying. I think people should. Could you tell us again where it's going to be, what's going on, so we know? Because I think it, with respect to our, and we keep getting these shows that have this theme, these themes every week, a different one, but this is really awesome. So can you tell us again what it's called and where it's playing?
In Los Angeles, it's at the Lemley Theater Music Hall in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It's called 12 Round Gun, 12-step program, basically.
Right, and that's December 5th.
And it's December 5th, but it's showing in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing, it's sprinkled out as a movie that you want to see, but you can find out. iTunes has it.
Okay.
You can also order it from Amazon.
Okay.
So,
beautiful. That's awesome. That is amazing, because again, I don't think men know where they stand. I don't think women understand that men don't know where they stand anymore. So
I know that.
Really big deal. I want to say really quick before we go that let's not forget Dr. Allen does telephone appointments. You can contact info@drpatallen.com to find out about them. She does all kinds of things, live script, dream analysis. Anything you want to talk about, you can get an appointment starting at 15 minutes and going up to as long as you need, with the exception of the live script. That is at least an hour-long appointment. So again, info@drpatallen.com. Visit our webpage, www.drpatallen.com. Sign up for our classes at wantistore.com. Dr. Allen, what you got to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Amen. We love you, everyone. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.